step by step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Good evening, everybody. Okay. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. All right. An Irishman walks into a bar in New York City and orders 3 pints of beer. He drinks each one in turn and walks out. The next night he returns and orders again 3 pints of beer, and then again the next night. The bartender offers to serve them consecutively so they don't go flat, but the Irishman explains, "I'd rather see them all lined up before me. I left 2 brothers behind in Ireland, and since we used to meet at the pub every night and have a pint together, I feel closer to them when I can drink my pint and their too." This goes on for a year, and then one night the Irishman fails to come in. The regulars are concerned, and then saddened when he returns a few nights later and only orders 2 beers. When the bartender serves him, he says, "I see you didn't order a beer for one of your brothers. My condolences for your loss." The Irishman says, "My brothers are still alive. I didn't order my own beer. My wife made me promise I'd give up drinking."
Thank you. Okay, I am a recovered alcoholic. My name is Rachel. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our 2-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might, will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away. And ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? If so, let's start the meditation.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's have the fog light prayer. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I have asked Amanda to please come and read the spiritual experience. And we read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Hi, Amanda, alcoholic. The spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James called the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realized that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of tolerant or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode or just turn them off. Okay, so we get the opportunity to hear Miss Wonderful Marion. Or come on up. And
look at her all stepping into this. It's been so awesome. Great job, honey. I'm Marion. I'm alcoholic.
Hey,
it's good to be here and good to be sober and good to see some familiar faces. And I want to welcome anyone who's new. possibly even to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're here for the first time or, you know, just getting started at this, please know that I'm definitely not an expert. I'm an expert on messing things up sometimes. But anyway, but one thing I have absolutely done in my sobriety is since November 11th, 1989, I have not had a mood or mind-altering substance in my body. And that's almost, oh, wow, it's 34 and a half years. My daughter's birthday is May 10th, so I always, like, measure this. Oh, I'm halfway to 35, you know. But literally, that's only by the grace of God. It's only by the stumbling and falling and getting back up and all these things that, like, my sponsor talks about, that life's in session. Life's in session, whether I am... life is good and I'm singing along and, you know, the bank account's good and the relationship and all those things are good, or whether, you know, my butt's on fire, you know, life is in session. And, you know, we get this continuous daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that's kind of it, you know, that what is my spiritual condition? You know, it's interesting before I do these, like the lead in, and I've been talking about that. I'm kind of, the focus is 6 and 7 tonight. And literally what happens for me is that between last week and this week, it's like the setup for what's going to come out of my mouth today. And between a talk of my husband and I last week, we were in, last weekend we were, away and we were in Louisiana, and we did a 1 day workshop, a 3 hour workshop, and then a talk later in that evening. But it was a 3 hour workshop on 6 and 7, and it was for a group's anniversary. And I just was like, I really applauded them. Like, this is what you picked for your group anniversary, 6 and 7. And in our 12 and 12, it talks about 6 and 7 is where these are the steps that separate the men from the boys. You know, I want sobriety today. I don't want sobriety today. I know what it feels like to be bone dry and running on all these defects of character like crazy. I know what that feels like. And 100 forms of fear and resentments and pride and anger and greed and gluttony and lust and envy and sloth. It's like, yuck, pour me another drink. Man, that's a miserable place to be. And before I go deeper into that, we have a former and always home group member that I think is watching online tonight, Stephen S., and Stephen William S. is 9 years sober today. So I just thought it'd be really cool that we give him a shout out from Alcoholics and God. You know, we should almost ask him what his favorite Ninja Turtle is. You know, part of what our home group stands. Yeah, I don't know. Just our fun that we have. And he was a former Crunch Monkey. And, you know, the guys work in the book. And... you know, and that's just what this place has always been about. And if you're hungry and you're desperate and you want to know, how do I recover from that place of hopeless state of mind and body? How do I recover from this place of having my defects of character run my life? I'm afraid. And literally, we can take every single defect of character and we can throw it in a bucket and it's all going to pour out fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what people are going to think of me. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of, you know, not being liked. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And the reality of this thing is, like, it's when we look at step 7, it says humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And every single one of our steps are leading to this word that we, you know, like when we do, this is just an opinion, but I'm going to share it. I think When we talk about inventories and we talk about step five, step four, writing our inventory, and step five, the word sex is something we don't talk a lot about from behind the podium. But I think there's another word that we don't talk a lot about from behind the podium. Because when it is talked about from behind the podium, it's like, oh, once I say I'm humble, I've lost it. Right? And the reality of that is the most absolutely beautiful goal we can possibly have in our life. And what it says, you know, that it's actually, what's it called? Hold on a second. I'm going to put on my glasses. Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. It doesn't mean we think low of ourselves and, you know, I know great people in this room, great, great people in this room that people will never know who they are. I've known great people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in 34 years that are heroes in my life that you'll never know who they are. And those are my heroes. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm not, you know, when Bill Wilson is laying in the hospital and he was a selfish S.O. you know what. He was driven by character defects. He was driven by alcoholism. He was trying to make something of himself. And they say that when Bill and Dr. Bob came together, if Dr. Bob had it his way, it never would have left Akron. And if Bill would have had it his way, we would have sold it, you know, and got famous, you know. And somehow, and this is why it's so amazing and incredible what we get to be a part of, is because it's divine. How does an organization come together? Peter and I were at Founders Day, and we ran into these just normal people on the street, and there's like, what is this thing? And this woman started asking us questions about Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, who runs this place? And we're like, nobody. Well, you've got to have some kind of structure of some sort. Yeah. And we're saying, yeah, we got a structure. And actually, the higher you go up on the ladder of the structure of Alcoholics Anonymous, the less important you are. And so just this word, humility, has been burning in my heart. If it's our goal, I've had, you know, it's okay to say it out loud. I've had humble moments. Nobody's got, you know what I mean? And that even feels weird to even say it. But why is it a faux pas to say that word? You know, if this is about less of me and more of God, if it's about less of me and more about you, if that's what my constant goal is going to be, I want to fall in love with that word. I stumble and wreck it every single solitary day. There's something I do or something I think, because we're never, you know what I mean, where this place centers in our mind, right? So Bill's in the hospital for the last time, and he has this white light experience, and he'd been running and running and running and selfish and self-centered and prideful and egotistical and all this crap. And the white light happens. And when the white light happens, the aha moment was, when he had it, was, I bet I can help somebody else. It doesn't say anywhere in the big book before that Bill gave a crud about anybody else. He certainly didn't care about his wife, you know, when he was drinking. I don't know about you. I cared a lot about a lot of people, but once the drink came in, I was driven by that, which is other forms of alcohol that we can be driven by, right? I can pick up food and I can be driven by a chocolate cake. I can be, you know, sitting at a slot machine in Vegas. Oh my God, one time We were somewhere, and me and Ryan and Mike Chase, and we were just playing a little slot machine, and we were just having a little bit of fun, but we were cracking up because it was a conference we were at, and it just happened to be in a casino, and we're like going, wow, we could really, so we order some, you know, some Arnold Palmers, and we're sitting there and just laughing about it, you know, because it's like, these are the kind of things that, you know, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, sloth, all these things that take the place in our character. We're looking at defects of character. And another thing, when I think about, so I do this, I'm going to have a drink of water. So I think of the comparison of step 3 to step 7. And it's so different. It's a continued work, right? That in 3, we're humbly on our knees. We're saying, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou will. Because each deep down inside, every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. Build with me. That's me. I'm not my selfishness. We're not our selfishness. Our disease has us run on it. But we're asking God in that prayer to be free of that and build with me, do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Bondage, man, I'm not getting anywhere because I'm wrapped up in me. I might not be much, but I'm all I ever think about, you know? And what's interesting that I think is that from step 3, we're going, you know, relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. Not my power, my way of, not my way of life, not mine, his, God's, right? So we do that step 3 on our knees, and we go forward in the steps of 4 and 5. And another do, every single step points back to the word humility, every single step. And Bill talks about that in the 12 and 12, and that each step is a greater release of what I think I know, what I think I need, what I think is right, what I think is wrong. But by the time we get to step 7, what I love about it so much is, you guys, the word self is not in that prayer. It's not in there. My Creator, I'm now willing that you would have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of you and my fellows, not of me and my selfishness. Of you and my fellows. When I'm coming to him on bended knee in 7, and I'm finishing up that work of turning in to go out, which this whole thing is about, by the time I get there, man, that's a huge change, right? And what had to happen to get to 6 and 7? What had to happen to get to 6 and 7 was, first of all, I don't know about you, when I was done in 1, when I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, this substance, this bottle, this stuff has kicked my butt. And somehow, like Pete, my husband always says, you know, I was given, how I don't, can't even think of it right now. But I was not like planning. I got drunk 2 times the day before I got sober. It was my 30th birthday. I got drunk in the morning at Denny's. I still don't remember who to this day. I don't know if I was by myself or I was with somebody. You know, maybe they'll tell me someday, you know. But I got drunk in the morning, and I got drunk in that evening. And I was sober the next day. That was not the plan for my life. How can we even begin to take one second of credit? For if you're sitting here and you're sober, I bet that what was your life like the day before? Some of you, I know what your life was like the day before.
got to be part of that. You know? So as we do one, it's a what is that? That's a release of humility. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I cease fighting this sucker. I'm out, you know? And what happens in that point? The divine moment that happens, that separation happens. My God, when that's all I've been doing my whole, since I was 15 years old, and then some, you know, it was, you know, there was many, many times I would call people and I would say, sorry about last night. I'm sober now and I'm going to be sober forever. And I meant it. But somehow God did that for me. That takes a little bit of humility, guys. It does. And I'm not pointing to me in that, okay? Please don't hear that. But please hear the beauty of that word. It's okay that it kicked your butt and you can't do it by yourself. Okay, guess what? God comes in, intervenes. What happens? I reach out to you. I reach out to you. You reach out to me. And we help pull each other out of that. Right? And so step two, I'm coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. What's the insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? I'm going to just keep doing what I've done. I've got this. I'll figure it out. Like, you know, plenty of people out there doing that stuff. Okay, trying to figure out the way to make it work, right? Then I come into step three and I'm humbly on my knees. This life, it has kicked my butt, right? And then I'm launching off to a rigorous course of action and I'm doing form five. And I'm going to tell somebody. Does that take any humility? Does that take a leveling of our pride? If you do it the way the book talks about, it's a chunk of it. And none of us are ever going to do it perfect, guys. Nobody's ever going to be, oh, who's the humblest person I know? You know, I don't know. You know, the Dalai Lama, okay? Or Keith Richards. I love Keith Richards. I was telling my sister today that my husband and I love him, and he's a lead guitar player for the Rolling Stones. But he I don't know. Whatever. Who's the most humble? I don't know who the most humble. We call, Peter and I call him, he's our Buddha, you know. But so, so I get this list in six. I get this list that comes out of five. One of my times through the work recently, 5 years ago, I think I did it with Mike Chase, and God, if you ever want to be humiliated, do a six and seven with Mike Chase, or five, four, five, six, you know, walk around the block, the whole thing. And it's so beautiful and it's great. But he gives me, here I was like, God, I don't know, 25, 28 years sober. And I'm telling my sponsor, I'm like, Polly, I want to go through the work with Mike Chase. He's right here. And it's like, honey, go do it, do it, do it, do it. And he gives me a little, how many character defects was it now, Mike Chase? 37 character defects. And I'm how many years sober? Probably 30, 29 years sober. And I have 37 character defects that I'm walking around with when I get to that inventory. And I was ticked. I was like, why does he have to put a microscope up to every single little thing? Like, really, I just meant well, you know, I meant well, but when we're talking about 100 forms of fear, what does fear have? You know, it's, you know, fault finding with somebody else or judging somebody else. And fear is, you know, jealousy or envy. I mean, it all boils down to that one word, right? It only boils down to one word, Mike Chase. There was 37, but there was really only one. No, I don't know. So, what? Yeah, I know. Oh, ouch. He said it was rationalization right now. Okay. And that's okay, too. But, you know, but when we're tripped up, man, when we're tripped up in that place and we're and we're agitated, or we're in that place where these what I think I need to be okay, what I think I need to be safe, what I think I need to be right with the world. You know, last week I was sharing a little bit about being fresh in this resentment that was happening in my life, and some harm that's come to my children in Washington, and I'll really share this in a very, very general way. Like, I sought counsel. I did inventory this week. I sat with it. And there are things when it comes to, I said this last week too, you know, when we use that restraint of pen and tongue, when I step back and look at what's going on in me. And my sponsor says this beautiful thing that she goes, Marian, sometimes we just have to accept the unacceptable. But what is that affecting in me? My pride, my children shouldn't be treated that way. My self-esteem, I need my kids to be this way. You know, I mean, all these areas of my life as a mama bear, when that's affected, what do? We're, you know, the house is burning down. We're grabbing the baby and we're running out. And we're going to throw the baby out and we won't make it. You know what I mean? That's what a mom would do. But all these areas of my life were affected. I also saw another time with that when I got married and I turned into that word, the bridezilla, you know, and it was like, I had a show, I had it planned, and that I'm not a big Marian the planner. It's all going to look like this and be perfect and be like this. But I had also had 22 members of my family come. And they haven't been around me in my interaction with them and what I've been doing the last really, really for a consolidated amount of time for a week we're together, and I'm not playing the role I used to play. And there were some of those things that were coming off, and when I was tired, and when I wasn't getting my way and somebody pushed my button the wrong way, man, I'm telling you, I had this situation with a family member. And, you know, I think of this, like, I was downstairs in the lobby of this place we were at, and this person was on the second floor in their room, and I was hurt. And instantly, you guys, pause. No, I reacted. I ran from that lobby up to that room to have a discussion, to stand up for myself. I had to get, you guys, I had to run upstairs and run down a hallway and knock on the door and go in. And I'm a sober adult bridezilla at the moment, you know, and you know, and God really, you guys, here's the deal. And I'm just being just transparent with you. Sometimes in those things, we learn our greatest lessons. We learn some great lessons by our stumbling and falling and screwing things up. So many times. I don't know about you, but I have always been the alcoholic that has got to be bashed up against the wall and figure it out when there's blood running down my nose and I've screwed it all up. I don't just come in and, oh, I'm a super sober Marian and everything's okay, you know, and isn't everything delightful? There's many, many beautiful, delightful, gorgeous, glorious moments in Alcoholics Anonymous, but some of my greatest lessons have come from the greatest pains that have happened in my life. And how 6 and 7 is fresh today is, I'm telling you, that stuff that happened in my hometown, oh, if I was to dip my toe into what I think should happen, if I was to dip my toe into not minding my own business, if I was to dip my toe into trying to control it, trying to give advice, oh, That's a gross one. You know, try to, you know, here, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This play God, control the whole, try to get my in this. It could cause, you know, some, it would not trouble, but emotional. It could cause some emotional trouble with people. And thank God for good counsel. And thank God for people that I could talk to and a sponsor and being able to put this on pen to paper and look at where Marion's at fault and what's affected in me. Because the bottom line, when things don't go my way, and I've kind of got to this place when I'm sober and awake enough that I really, really know when I'm in fear, I am not trusting God. And that's the greatest thing. And I've said this before. I drill it into you guys. That's the greatest thing that God wants for me, is to just trust him with my life. Trust him with the people I love. Trust him with my finances and my romances and my circumstances, you know, all that stuff. God just wants me to trust, and God just wants me to offer my life to him. And like anything that happens in my life where I'm doing good for anybody else, it's not, you know, we live in this world of social media and people trying to make something of themselves, and that's okay for them or who or whatever. This is like the world we're living in today. And for us alcoholics, you know, it's like we're hero to zero, you know. Big shot, little shot, one shot, we're all shot, you know. That's the truth of our lives. And so we have this ability to be God's servants every day. And how am I doing that? I'm going to screw it up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to land on 2 feet. You know, I'm gonna land on 2 feet. We're going to. So this other situation I got myself into was it was during COVID, and I have this sponsor I've had for 20 years, and it became all about Zoom. And you know, who wasn't a little crazy during that time? Come on, please. Were you guys? Because I was a little bit. I got a little goofy, right? And I was seeing through the eyes of fear, and I was seeing through the eyes of, I don't even know, of character defects. And I was just looking at some of my, I was looking at things on Zoom, like I was being a real judging. I was judging people that I felt and I saw that I thought that I didn't know even, that I thought were trying to be self-important, that were trying to make some of those, blah, 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 blah. And some of them were in my sponsorship family, and I got really judgy, and I got really, I was kind of a poop head in my thoughts. And I didn't want to tell my sponsor, because there's some of the women she sponsored. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go outside of Polly and go here. And I went into that. I called a beautiful woman on the West Coast that I just absolutely adore. And I was like, going to interview her to be my, maybe I need a new sponsor even, because those girls aren't doing what I want them to do. Just being real, guys. It's messy, you know. And I'm going to call this woman, and I'm going to just let her know what's going on with these girls. I called her, hey, how's it going? Keep her anonymous too. How's it going? Well, and I just start splurting off all this stuff that I saw in other people and what they were doing, and I didn't like it. And after all, they should be humble. That's something to watch for, okay? That's really something to watch for. If it ever comes out of your mouth, like, try to get it right back in as quick as you can. They should really try to be humble. Holy what? And I finished this phone call. I mean, I'm going on my little rant, and I'm telling her everything, and she's, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. She goes, well, I want you to do something for me, Marion. Marion, I don't really think it's time for you to make the decision on leaving your sponsorship family right now. Let's just not make that decision yet. However, I do want to give you an assignment. And I was like, okay, she's going to give me an assignment. This is going to be good. And she says, I'd love for you to take out the 12 and 12. And I want you to go to 6 and 7. And I want you to read them. And before you read them, I want you to set aside everything that you think you know. Kind of tough to do sometimes, because sometimes old-timerism is sickening, right? Old-timerism becomes, we have the elder statesman and we have the bleeding deacon. Marion became a bleeding deacon for a few minutes there, okay? I became a bleeding deacon. She goes, I want you to read 6 and 7 and the 12 and 12, and I really want you to just pray about it, set aside everything you think you know, and just what speaks to your heart and for you to write about it. And I came across with that situation on page 67, and I sponsor you, you've read it. And this was it. You guys, this so saved me, but it says this. It says, self-righteous anger also could be very enjoyable. Oh my God, I was enjoying it before that phone call. I enjoyed it. Also can be very enjoyable. In a perverse way, we can actually take satisfaction from the fact that many people annoy us. For it brings us a comfortable feeling of superiority. Gossip, barbed with our anger, is a polite form of murder by character assassination. It has its satisfaction for us too. Here we're not trying to help those we criticize. We're trying to proclaim our own righteousness. And man, oh man, you know, thank God for God, and thank God for that, for help, and thank God for truth and honesty of exactly where we are. Like, here's the deal. This is what we get to do with each other, is we get to expose ourselves. We get to expose the defects. We get to take a look inside of where they are. Please look inside. I needed to look inside. These kind of things that just can absolutely just destroy our walk with who? If I'm not okay with you, I'm not going to be okay with God. I mean, and how quick in a moment we can get twisted up and held down by these things that are just, and here's the deal, and I said this before too, is that there's going to be shortcomings. There's going to be places I fail. There's going to be those things. And also along with our alcoholism, there's the human factor. I'm human. I'm going to make a mistake and I'm going to be wrong. And then our book says not to drift into morbid reflection and worry, because that's the thing we can do too, is like, oh my God, I screwed up and I can never go back to that sponsorship family again. You know, no, I took it to counsel. I took it to somebody I trusted. I took it to somebody that would point me in the right direction. And how many times, you guys, have you ever just thought, I mean, I know I'm not the only one here. When you get self-righteous about something and you're going to go tell somebody who's super sober and into inventory and you sure you're right and you got this grudge and you da 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 da, and then they point you to yourself. And that's the only freedom I've ever found in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, is when I'm agitated, when I'm doubtful, when something's going on inside of me, please help me. Please help me to see what's going on in me. Because your character defects are not my business. And maybe none of you have any. And I'm just a goofball up here tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, please show me. Please point me the way. Please show me what's going on inside of me. And the more we walk with that, I had a sponsee call me today. And she had reacted on a character defect. And she didn't like the way that felt. And it's like, yes, thank God you noticed it. Thank God that you could feel that, that didn't feel right inside of me. And the more we walk with God and the longer we're sober and the more we do this stuff, we develop this conscious contact with God, you guys, we do know right from wrong. We do. And Sadler, you're on there. Oh, Steve, you know, one of my favorite things is, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. I tell my sponsees that all the time. Oh, how's that working for you? There's no right way to do a wrong thing. Can't cheat a little bit. Can't do that a little bit. No. So anyway, that's how I'm going to develop that relationship with God. That's how I'm going to develop that relationship with others. Quick to see where others are right. Quick to see where I'm wrong. Quick to see. Because, guys, the payoff and the abundance that I get to live in my heart, what I get to live in when my shoulders have relaxed, you know, just relax and go, oh, my God, okay, that's a pretty cool place to live. And then I get to pass that on to somebody else. So it's cool like that, you know. And I'm going to read some one more little thing, just because I read it Saturday and I want to read it now. This came from Timmy's sponsor. This is from an old AA pamphlet. How to avoid playing God, because that's what we're trying to do all the time, right? Number one, offer no advice unless it's asked. Two, listen to other people's dreams and help them in the way they wish to be helped. It's not mine. Encourage them to find their own strength. Reserve judgment at all times. Admit that you don't know all the answers. Yikes. Build confidence in the other person until their own judgment becomes clear. Have faith in the overall rightness of God's purpose in the world and the next. Dwell in what is right instead of what is wrong. And realize the core of divine being in each person and respect it. Number 10 says, never discount the other person's good intentions. So I think we all get to stumble along on this journey and do our best and screw up and rise up and do it again. And we get to do it sober. We don't have to do it perfect. So thanks for letting me share tonight, guys.
Okay, now we have the secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary.
Hey, Brandon.
In keeping with the seven tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs and in Zoom, so you can donate on Zoom. I've asked Tony to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
I'm Tony, an alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are not sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. 1940 style big book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? All right, we're all recovered. Okay. Can the recovered alcoholics raise their hand? We are really all recovered. Awesome. All right. And then we have some announcements. Broward County Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. All right. Our Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members here? No? Okay. You can ask Mike Chase about that in the back. And then Founders Day Picnic. Planning meetings will be held at the 101 Club Saturday, May 18th and Saturday, June 1st at 12 p.m. And then we have some new co-facilitators, Peter M., JB, and Mike Chase at our Monday night Big Book Study Workshop. All right, and we have Marion for another 3 weeks? 3 weeks. 3 weeks. All right. And I guess that is it. All right. And, of course, here's our home groups, Monday night's Big Book Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bell. See you next week.
Those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And let's all circle up and, no, let's just close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Okay, thanks again, Miriam. Wonderful. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah. And I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah. The only thing that I can do is I'm praying, 'cause on my own I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much to carry. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all.
words can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. When you laughing, bah, 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 when you laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you crying, on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Out in the dark.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. I see the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm out to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Long shine a light on me tonight. Lord, shine a light on me tonight. There's no place for a woman like me. My hands are dirty, but my soul is clean. So Lord, shine a light on me. These hands right down to the bone. I work these hands right down to the bone. I work so hard for someone I don't know. I watch these walls be bought and sold. So low.
Thank you very much.